Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. It is a radiant kind of day out there. The sky is practically wearing sunglasses. Well, at least it was a couple hours ago, but it seems like the sun has gone down a little bit. But the kind of sunlight that we had feels like it's been saving up just for July. Wherever you're turning in from, I hope you're finding little ways to bask in that golden glow, even if it's just through a cafe window or between textbook pages. Because yes, summer courses are still in full swing. To those grinding away at essays and labs, may your deadlines be kind, your coffee strong, and your patience stronger. You've got this. Keep pressing forward. Now, July is definitely turning up the heat, and it's a clear sign that summer is not just knocking on the door, but it's kicked it wide open. So today we're leaning into that mood with something a little lighthearted, a little romantic, and a whole lot of French charm. Today's review is all about the 2022 French romantic comedy Stuck With You, originally titled Happy New Year. That's pronounced Happy New Year. All right, so it's a charming little film that asks what happens when two strangers get locked in an elevator on New Year's Eve. And since we're dipping into the world of French cinema, we're going to be mixing in a little bit of French throughout the episode today. But before we get started, let's get through some ads, PSAs, show promos, and we'll get right back into the episode. So I'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Picture this. You're walking into your local record store and start skimming the many records until you find an album that you recognize. You pick out the album, check the track list, and maybe only recognize a couple songs. Now you have to listen to the whole album, right? Well, why not do it together? On Discali, every show runs you through an entire album and breaks down key parts and songs that make up an album's aesthetic, art, and story. I'm your host, Oliver, and join me every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. in talking about all things music. Want to discover more albums, artists, record pressings, and concerts? I got you. That's every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., so tune in to Discali to discover different discographies and add to the musical discourse.
Are you looking to decolonize your self-care routine? Take a trip down to Sisters Sage for a variety of handmade soaps, bath fizzies, smudge sprays, and salves infused with traditional plant medicines. Sisters Sage is an award-winning local indigenous business run by Tsimshian and entrepreneur, activist, and community builder Lynn Marie Angus and her dog TJ. Passionate about crafting wellness products that are respectful of the land we live on, Sisters Sage is committed to a heart-centered approach to self-care as well as our collective healing. Located on 1312 Kingsway, you can drop by from Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. See you there.
Do you want to advertise with CITR Radio and Discorder Magazine? Well, good news, you can. Our copies of Discorder Magazine span 6,000 square kilometers and reach 3 million inhabitants across 32 locations here in Vancouver. Advertising with Discorder Magazine means being seen from UBC to New Westminster. Along with print, we offer advertising online, offering you a viewership to over 100,000 engaging with our content. From radio ads to Discorder Magazine and our online presence, CITR and Discorder Magazine knows how to get you seen. Contact sponsorship at CITR.ca to get advertising today. Sponsorship at CITR.ca.
Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. and we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. As I mentioned, today's review is about the 2022 French romantic comedy Stuck With You, originally titled Happy New Year. And since we are going into the world of French cinema, let's set the tone with a quick hello à la française. Bonjour à toutes et à tous, je m'appelle Jeff Lee. Bienvenue à Lean In with Jeff. J'espère que vous allez aimer l'émission aujourd'hui. All right, let's get into the episode for today. So, first off, let's set the scene. It is a movie, and I think it is kind of opening up with a very interesting manner. So, it's New Year's Eve. The city is buzzing with that electric kind of anticipation. Countdowns, champagne, which is what Gaël, which is who's the main character of the movie, walks into the scene with initially. Well, not doesn't walk in. He's really rushing into the scene with a bottle of champagne and a costume. It seems like he's some sort of mascot. But furthermore, last minute outfits and all of that, which kind of includes the New Year's Eve vibe. And so Gaël, our male lead, bursts onto the scene mid-stride, late, flustered, running to a party he is clearly behind schedule for. And this opening immediately sets a tone of urgency, of motion, of breathlessness, and the camera follows him in that almost claustrophobic style. So tight shots, fast cuts, as if the whole night is pressing in on him. And then suddenly, it stops. He steps into the elevator, which is where the party is held. I think it seems like the party is at his girlfriend's house. And that's where it all changes. Enters Anna. From the second we meet her, she radiates a completely different energy. Still fast-paced, yes, but sharp. She's very controlled, on edge, and she's visibly irritated. And this is very evident with the phone call that she's having. I'm assuming that it's with her boyfriend, but she's very irritated. There's, you know, you could see it from the body language and the facial expressions that she's portraying. And she has a very clipped tone, very, very impatient, and it kind of gives a feeling of self-protection almost. You can't really tell if it's an argument that she's in or just a heated confrontation regarding, I don't know, maybe just New Year stuff. But it's biting, it's confrontational, but she's questioning some sort of thing that she's talking to about whoever is on the other end of the phone. But to emphasize the irritated nature of her presence, when Gaël kind of mentions to Anna, you know, your phone is going to cut off because the elevator just closed and we're going up, Anna responds with a very unpleasant tone, saying, "Excusez-moi, vous parlez français," which translates to, "Excuse me, you speak French." And immediately you can see the tone of sarcasm with this. It's her subtle way of reasserting control, of saying, don't get too comfortable. And so the tone here is razor sharp, and she's not asking, she's warning Gaël almost. And so Gaël, being just a friendly person in an elevator, you know, tries to not spark a conversation, but let her know, you know, she seems kind of uncomfortable and irritated with the phone call that she's in. And so there's an explanation that Gaël's trying to give her. But, you know, she's not really in for that conversation. And so here is where it gets more interesting, is that at first glance, the tension here is classic rom-com awkwardness. So two strangers stuck together in a confined space, but what makes Stuck With You stand out is that it doesn't treat this tension as simple banter or romantic foreplay. Instead, it gives us two different kinds of tension that feel identical in their discomfort, but reveal very different emotional cores. So the first tension that one we can see right away is raw and guarded. So it's rooted in defensiveness, but both characters are protecting themselves almost. So Hannah through sharpness, Gal through overcompensation. So they don't quite trust each other, which is understandable because they just met each other in the elevator. So they don't know the rules of engagement. This tension is jagged. You feel something could snap. But as the film progresses, minute by minute, word by word, that same discomfort shifts in nature. It doesn't go away, it evolves. And this is the brilliant part. So that tension softens, it becomes smoother, still awkward, still vulnerable, but now it changes, it charges with curiosity instead of caution. So they're still strangers, technically, but emotionally, they're beginning to mirror each other. You start seeing how they feel in each other's emotional blanks, where Gal stumbles and Anna sharpens, where Anna retreats and Gal softens. And so this gradual morphing from hostility to hesitant intimacy is what makes Stuck With You so much more than a gimmick about being trapped in an elevator. But I think it's a great hook to the movie. You know, being stuck in an elevator with a stranger, it's awkward, you're in a very tight space. You're at the same time kind of worried because there's a malfunction going on in an elevator, which is a technology that we all use very frequently, and for it to malfunction can be very frightening. You know, throughout the film, there's lights that kind of go off and on, and the elevator moves. And so I can kind of imagine the scary nature of the situation, but at the same time, you're with someone you don't know. So it's a very interesting hook and a very interesting way to meet someone new. And so this is kind of how it kicks off. Now, another translation that I want to give to you is the initial title of the movie. And the initial title that the movie kind of opens up with is Happy New Year, which translates to Happy Us Year. So new means us. So that was very interesting. You know, I had to translate that, and it was nice to see. It's instead of Happy New Year, it's Happy Us Year. So it kind of adds into that romantic comedy vibe of the movie. So now we're kind of going to go into the more core aspects of the movie. So as mentioned, we're not just watching the characters get to know each other. The real story is the emotional claustrophobia. So both characters, and I love that the fact that the majority of the movie is just showcasing Gal and Anna interacting with each other, telling each other stories about their lives. It really goes into a lot of depth within the characters and who they are, where they're from, why they behave a certain way. And so we get a lot of detail that, you know, some movies might not do, because there's so many subplots and sub-characters and secondary characters that can shift the focus out of the main characters. And so the elevator, like I said, is just the catalyst. And so, the two people carrying their private fears into a shared space and slowly and silently reshaping each other's walls into windows. So we're not just watching the characters get to know each other. We're watching the tension transform from something that's very stiff to a little bit more softer. Now, one of the most striking elements of Stuck With You that I found, and I'd argue one of its boldest stylistic choices, is how it handles memory. One of the fascinating aspects and the most appreciative aspects that I have with the film is that there's a lot of stories that are being told inside the elevator from both sides, from Gael and Anna. And the stories are based on their individual lives and their experiences and how that shaped who they are today and what values they have and why they are the way they are. For example, Anna is very guarded. She has a very hard time trusting people. And the comment that she made, you know, to Gael when he was trying to give her an explanation kind of gives you a taste on that guarded nature that she projects into her persona. And so all of these get answered through those stories, and it unpacks in a manner that's very, very entertaining. So it's not just through monologue. You know, they explain the story, but instead, and additionally, the film employs what I researched, it's called a diegetic flashback with participatory immersion. So in simpler terms, it's immersive memory reenactment. And so how this works is whenever Hannah and Gael tells a story, whether it's a breakup, a childhood trauma, or childhood memory, or a moment of loss, the elevator door opens and suddenly we're not just hearing about the past, we're inside of it. And so as an audience member, we're kind of experiencing the actual scene, the memory, and the story in a very intimate manner, because we can see what is going on, what scenery, what setting it's being take place in. We can see the person who's actually involved in the story. And so there's a much clearer image of what the story is about. And so the characters don't just recall their memories, they walk into them and they bring the audience and the secondary characters into the story. And that's what makes it more intimate, and it makes it more in detail. And I really, really enjoy that aspect. So, you know, participating and witnessing and reacting, all these are being taken place through the scenes that are being shown, the real scenes. So it's an extraordinary technique because it externalizes emotion in real time. These aren't just flashbacks. They're shared experiences where both characters and we as the audience are immersed in a memory space that feels real, dynamic, and alive. So let's break down a few of the stories and the memories that were told in the elevator and were simultaneously shown to the audience members. So the first thing I remember is on a story about her being cheated on by her previous boyfriend. Now, this is one of the core stories because through this experience, Anna became very guarded. She has trouble letting people into her life, and she has trouble giving someone her trust, which is understandable. This was a very traumatic experience for her. And so she tells the story bluntly because, as mentioned, the character that she's like is quite cold. She's very guarded, and she's not very open-minded. She's not very openly friendly, per se. And so she says it in a very blunt manner, with a very defensive edge. But once the elevator door opens, we're no longer hearing her story, but we're living it, and so it opens up as a crowded party. Her boyfriend is shown sitting in a bar, in the bar area of the party. It seems like a club scene. And so there's loud music playing. We can see the boyfriend on a chair with another woman who Guile assumes is Anna. And so Guile gives a comment, "Oh, you know, you look very good." And Anna explains, "That is not me." And so we can see, you know, Anna's ex-boyfriend, very, very touchy with some other woman. And Anna realizes that she's been lied to and betrayed. And the whole confrontation breaks out where Anna becomes physical with her boyfriend, which, you know, the violent nature, which is there is a little bit of violence in the film. It kind of acts as both kind of a comedy, I guess you can say, because none of the characters actually get severely wounded. But at the same time, it kind of, you know, gives an explanation of how Anna has a temper, has a very hot temper, and has a troubled time kind of suppressing her anger in a verbal manner, but it kind of expresses externally, physically. And Guile, after realizing that it was a very traumatic experience for Anna, he just listens, and we see him reacting not just as an outsider, but as someone absorbing the weight of that moment. And here is where Guile begins to know more about who Anna is, what she's been through, and we don't just understand Anna's defensiveness, but we feel where it comes from. And so it reshapes our understanding of her character entirely, and not just as an audience, but we can see that through Guile as well. Another story. So Guile opens up about his relationship that is not and has been declining in nature. So he talks about his previous relationship, how it didn't explode, but it eroded. A quiet kind of heartbreak, distance, silence, feeling unseen. And once again, the scene shifts. We're in his old apartment, watching the subtle decay of intimacy, and Anna being right there, observing the absence. This is all going through her as well. So we kind of understand, you know, where Guile is coming from, how he's friendly, but at the same time, when both characters begin to converse with each other more and more, Guile is shown to have a lot of fear in trying, in attempting new things and moving forward. And this is shown through the scene where he's performing as a stand-up comedian, seems like a bar, and he completely bombs his set. And that's actually where he meets his girlfriend. But it seems like that's kind of one of the reasons why he lost his motivation to attempt another set. And all he does is sit at home, play video games, sleep, and doesn't really do anything to move forward from that. So another story that is a bit more intimate in nature is that Anna shares a story about her father. And so what begins as a beautiful stargazing memory where Anna and her father lying in the grass, pointing out constellations, it becomes and immediately becomes a much heavier topic. So we shift into the memory visually. It's tender, even idyllic, but then it fractures. She reveals that her father suffered a brain aneurysm and passed away shortly after. And this was during a car crash. So she was in the car with her father And that is when her father experienced the brain aneurysm. The car crashes. And that was just another formation of a traumatic experience for Anna. And the memory collapses from warmth into grief. And in that space with Gal beside her, we feel not just the pain, but the contrast, the before and after, the way memory can be both a comfort and a curse. So let's get into the method a bit more. So why is this method so effective? And I think it's because it turns vulnerability into something physical. It allows us to see, literally see, what shaped these people, these characters. It avoids exposition entirely and invites empathy through embodiment. And the structure it creates, remarkably elegant. Each time the elevator door opens, we enter someone's emotional world. Each time they close, we return to the present, but not unchanged. We reflect, we absorb, and crucially, the characters do too. That's what gives Happy New Year its emotional rhythm. We're not just watching a romance unfold. We're watching layers of personality unravel, reveal, and merge. And by the end of the film, we no longer see Gal and Anna as opposing energies, but we see them as people who've stepped into each other's pasts and come out the other side, changed, softened, and seen. So this isn't just good storytelling, it's deep cinematic empathy. So let's get into the characters a bit more, the heart of the film. So because Stuck With You doesn't work just because it's a romantic comedy, it works because it's a story about emotional damage and what happens when someone finally sees it, names it, and stays. So let's take Gale, for example. We're going in again. At first glance, he's charming, polite, a little awkward, but in that affable, I'm trying my best kind of way. But the more time we spend with him, the more we realize that all this effort, his endless niceness, his self-deprecating humor, isn't just personality. It's protection. It's how he covers up the deep gnawing belief that he's failed. Not just in life, or not just in love, but in life. He opens up about a relationship that deteriorated over time, or it's not ended yet, but it has been deteriorating. And it's with his girlfriend, Poon. So not because of infidelity or betrayal, although later it is because of infidelity, but because of something quieter, a maybe harder fix, which is disconnection. So he started fading from his partner's life. He stopped being seen. And it's not because of the partner, it's because of him. And he talks about it. You can feel how that experience shook his sense of self-worth. He didn't just lose love, but he lost, you know, motivation, ambition, confidence, everything. And so he tells us indirectly that he stopped trying, not with just people, but with his dreams. And all of this is just coming down all together, and it's like a domino effect where in the beginning it's his career, then it's his relationship, and then, you know, slowly it's himself, and it's just continuously going on like so. And then there's Anna, where Gal hides his pain and politeness. Anna guards hers with precision. She's sharp, she's witty, she's controlled, and that's because she had to be. She was cheated on by someone she trusted, someone who likely knew exactly how to hurt her. And that betrayal didn't just break her heart, it broke her sense of safety. And so she doesn't just distrust men, she distrusts vulnerability. She distrusts hope. You can see it in the way that she talks, the way that she interrupts, The way that she resists Gael's early attempts at connection. To her, being open equals being weak. And that's kind of how I interpreted it. And that's kind of what her past experiences explain to how she is. And so the elevator, this cramped metallic space that first felt like a prison, becomes something else entirely. A cocoon, a liminal space where they're not quite who they are and not yet who they'll become. So it's the suspended moment with time slowed and the world paused that they begin to relearn how to feel, not for each other, not just for each other, but for themselves. And they begin to reawaken the parts of themselves, the buried in the aftermath of heartbreak, the parts that still long for closeness, for understanding, for trust. And, you know, that's kind of how the film unfolds. Now, we're already towards the end of the film, and I really, really enjoy how this was kind of wrapped up, how this was wrapped up. So, Stuck With You doesn't wrap up in the typical rom-com fashion. It plays with your expectations in a quietly suspenseful, almost cinematic trick. When the elevator door opens, finally opens, after the entire experience of it having malfunctioning, calling the person who is supposed to help you, but eventually, very comedically, Gael ends up telling a cat that he heard through the elevator, and the cat goes to its owner, and the owner ends up helping Gael and Anna get free from the elevator. You can see how the entire film's worth of emotional buildup, both Gael and Anna step out, but not quite together initially. So in fact, they each walk out and walk off to opposite directions, back into their separate lives, back into the parties or homes they were originally heading toward before fate intervened. And then something unexpected happens. So the camera lingers for nearly, let's say, 10 seconds. It was a long time. And we're left staring at an empty hallway. It doesn't seem like there's any music. There's no dialogue. It's just silence and a still frame of just seeing the doors that were closed from each other. And it's an unusually long pause. And it genuinely makes you question whether the love story that we've all been rooting for ever since the two met. And, you know, assuming this, considering that it is a romantic comedy, might not happen after all. Maybe that was it. Maybe this was just a fleeting one-night connection with no future at all. And then, as the countdown begins with New Year's Eve, 4 seconds before midnight, Gael opens the door and reappears into the hallway scene. And we can see that from his face, he was anticipating Anna to be standing right in front of him, right across from him. And she wasn't. So he steps back out into the hallway alone. His face is hesitant, almost uncertain, and at first glance, this is kind of the worst moment for him. And maybe Gael is having second thoughts, although it seems like he did enjoy Anna's company and he kind of likes her, and the feelings are building up. Gael waits, and he ends up going to the elevator again to leave. And that is where Anna steps out of the door. She comes out of the door. And so another part of excitement blooms into the air. So now here, we're expecting a grand confession as the New Year's countdown begins to close up. We are expecting a New Year's Eve kiss from both of them, a dramatic run into each other's arms moment. But instead, Anna just holds out Gal's wallet from her pocket and gives it to him, saying that he left it in the elevator. And it's a twist that teases us one last time. And then she came out, and initially not to profess love, but later it turns into that as well. So as they talk, you know, just slightly awkwardly, they admit that they've both broken up with their respective partners. Gael left Prune. Anna ended things with her boyfriend. The scene doesn't rush anything. It unfolds like real life, nervous, tentative, but honest. And then finally, they kiss. It's quiet, it's sincere, and that's where the film seems to end, with a classic rom-com closure. Two people who found love within each other just in time. But then, there's one final beat. As they turn toward the elevator, Anna stops and says with a smile, "Par contre, cette fois, on prend l'escalier," which is, "Let's take the stairs this time." It's such a simple line, but it says everything. They're ready to slow down, do it differently, take the long way together. And it also gives a comedic tone as well, because they literally just came out of the elevator after being stuck there because of a malfunction. And so I guess, you know, in long shot, it can seem like a comment of romance, but I think mostly the connotation behind this was just for a comedic tone to close the film, because it would be funny if they were to go into the elevator again and be stuck. And so I feel like, you know, that trauma is, you can kind of see still lingering around with the characters. And so, yeah, the romance might have been sparked in an elevator, but their real journey begins on foot, one step at a time. And that's the wrap. So that's it for today's film review. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I really enjoyed this film. It's funny. You build up a lot of empathy with the characters. It's very entertaining with the different shots and colors. And it's really great. And so I do recommend this film to you guys. And yeah, that's it for today's movie review. For the last portion of the episode, there is one song that I'd like to introduce to you guys. It is from Emily Waramara called Midnight Blues. So let's listen to this and we'll get back and wrap up the show. So here we go. I'm singing, singing, leaving.
how I feel around you. And these midnight blues, midnight blues, midnight blues, singing in me, perplexing the street.
That was Midnight Blues by Emily Waramara. The last part of the show, I have some fun facts for you guys, and this one is Canadian themed. So the first one I have is Canada has the largest moose population in the world. So the description, which is all from travelsphere.co.uk, is Canada has the Canadian moose holds great significance as both a symbol of the country and one of its most iconic wildlife species. So Canada boasts the largest population of moose in the world, which estimates in excess of 1 million. Now, I've never seen a moose before, but I heard that they are massive. And from what I see, the average weight of a moose varies based on multiple, you know, aspects such as the species. But generally, adult male moose, which are called bulls, weigh between 850 to 1,600 pounds, so which is 385 to 725 kilograms, while adult female moose, which are called cows, weigh between 600 to 1,300 pounds, which is 270 kilograms to around 591, and they can stand 5 to 6.5 feet tall at the shoulder. That is insanely big. So, I mean, I guess seeing a moose would be cool, but at the same time, I think it'll be extremely frightening. I've seen a couple videos, you know, on the internet, and they are massive, truly massive. And speaking of moose, why don't we get into a couple facts about moose? So this is from superiorcountry.ca. The name. So a young moose is referred to as a calf or calves if plural. A female moose is referred to as a cow, while a male moose is referred to as a bull. And in terms of lifespan, so calves are born between May and June. When they are just a week old, they have the ability to outrun a human, only a week old, and they can run as fast as a human, if not faster. And they are, first of all, they're extremely beautiful. And the calves are weaned off from their mother's milk at 6 months of age. And at a year old, the calves get run off by their mothers to set out on their own. But this time, they're still young and have troubles defending themselves. So in terms of their diet, so moose, the term Algonquin term moose actually means twig eater. With that, it is easy to guess what most of their diet consists of. So what they eat is that they feed on leaves, shrubs, tree roots, bark, plant shoots, aquatic vegetarian, and of course twigs. And it seems like moose are almost constantly eating. They need 50 pounds of food on an average day. That's a lot of food. That explains their massive size as well. And another interesting fact is that the antlers shed, and I thought this was the most bizarre thing when I first saw videos of moose having their antlers shed. It was so weird. Because the entire antler would just fall off. And it was so, and you could see the red. It's weird. But so they shed. So moose will be growing their antlers in the spring, and shortly after that they would shed off. And so they grow out throughout the spring, summer, and into the fall. And as previously mentioned, the fall is the main and really only time the antlers are utilized. The antlers have a velvet coating on them. But in the fall, they'll begin to peel off. The antlers will fully come off the moose anytime between November and March. And then they would undergo the regrowth once again. So I think that's just really interesting how the antlers fall off and then they regrow again. I think other animals do that as well, but I think it's just always a fun fact to learn about. All right, the next dish, because it is a dish fun fact, but poutine is a must-try dish in Canada. I'd have to say, though, poutine is great. Poutine is a popular dish originated from Quebec. It is made with French fries that are topped with cheese curds and covered in gravy. Oh, wonderful gravy. I love gravy. So this combination of flavors has made poutine a comfort food for Canadians. And I'd say, you know, poutine is really, really comforting when you eat it. It's warm. It's a mixture of a little bit of the crunch from the French fries, but then kind of, you know, soft and mushy from the French fries, you know, dipped into the gravy. It is really, really nice. But yeah, poutine, there we go. The next one I have is, this one's kind of a universal fun fact. But, oh, you know what? Let's do something else that's more interesting. So apparently basketball was born in Canada. Basketball, now a globally cherished sport, was created by James Naismith, a Canadian, in 1891. And the first game of basketball used a soccer ball and two peach baskets as equipment. That's very interesting. So now we can see that basketball was originated from Canada, and its initial way of practicing it was very interesting, using peach baskets. But all right, thank you everyone for listening to today's episode. I hope you guys had a fun time listening to the movie review, the song, and finally, Canadian fun facts. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the afternoon, and I'll see you guys next week with another great episode. Thank you for listening, and bye-bye, everyone.